Hey, kids, it's time for
Surf Shorts!
Welcome to the Surf Shorts podcast, an innovator in modern storytelling, looking towards the future, using business terms like radical, off the lip, caught inside, and totally tubular. Surf Shorts, the storytelling podcast, recorded on VHS, then downloaded to cassette for maximum audio quality. It's totally radical.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Surf Shorts. I'm sitting here with Nick, who has a really good story about surfing in Colombia. And how you doing, Nick?
I'm doing good. Yeah, thanks for having me again, man.
Yeah, you know, people will notice, hey, we've heard Nick on here before. And the thing is, people have more than one story. And if you listen to Surf Shorts for a long time, you may hear somebody on five different episodes, or you might only hear them one time, but you're only going to hear one story at a time, and it's going to be pretty short because it's Surf Shorts, people.
Nice. I look forward to hopefully having more stories for you, you know?
Right. Yeah, living and creating exactly. Some more stories. That's exactly right. All right, well, tell me about your trip to Colombia.
Yeah, so this was recent. It was pretty much the month of July this past summer in 2022, going for mostly backpacking, hiking. I knew that one spot along our trip in, so this was Magdalena. It's the North Caribbean coast of Colombia. Really beautiful mountains that butt right up to the sea.
Yeah. I'm just imagining this in my mind. That seems like maybe the part of South America that sort of tucks right up under Trinidad and Tobago.
Exactly. Yeah. Pretty much on that Caribbean Sea. You know. Yeah.
It's probably pretty windy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, midday. And I'll get to the conditions, but we were, yeah, surfing in the morning and the afternoon, you know, when that wind died down.
And you're saying you're there with your smoking hot girlfriend?
ex, but yeah, regardless.
That's right.
The attractive lady, great to travel with, you know, so that was part of the trip where I was like, how's this going to go? You know, non-refundable tickets. I knew she was going to go. I knew I was going to go. And so we just figured it out, but
you knew two people were going, but hey, maybe one might come back.
Yeah. Who knows? But yeah, it went about as good as I can hope. And Magdalena, you know, we hear Colombia and I think a few thoughts come into our mind.
Absolutely.
Cartels, Escobar, you know, Magdalena, really beautiful area. I definitely recommend. Felt very safe. People in Colombia, like really genuinely concerned with visitors' well-being, safety. Yeah. You know, and just that they had a good time.
I can imagine if you're in Colombia and you know your country has a reputation and has for 40 years, maybe more. I mean, I'm only so old, but of murderous drug trafficking, that if your town's livelihood is with tourism, you would definitely go out of your way to make people feel safe.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That tourism aspect. Absolutely. But, you know, there's definitely some good heartedness to it, you know, besides just the business. But I think you're right. I think a little bit of combination.
Yeah, no, I wasn't saying that they weren't also good people.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, there's that driver. Yeah. So a lot of that other stuff, we were just talking briefly before about Medellin in the center of the country. Now that's where you've got more of the coca growing, the exportation. And interestingly enough, an invasive hippo population.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, I watched Narcos and I knew that Escobar had like some crazy stuff out there and ways of covering up his money. And so he had hippos, right?
Yeah. And I mean, when the police raided it, they got most of the animals. But, you know, when a hippo gets on the loose, I mean, what are the options? That's a living tank right there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You just went, well, good luck, hippo, because I'm not chasing you down.
Exactly. But anyway, so back to Magdalena. Yeah. So a lot of hiking around, you know, not bringing a surfboard. And, you know, we knew this one spot, Palomino. So heading more towards the eastern section of Colombia, actually not too far from the Venezuelan border.
Okay.
The small kind of surf, I'll say, I don't like this word, but instead of hippie, I'll say artisan, because there are a lot of like talented people who, incredible jewelry, clothing, you know, things that have skills, you know, generationally passed down.
Right.
And we decided to spend a week there, you know, one of our longer stints in one location in the area. And since that, you know, I was like, well, you know, I know there's some surf. Let me rent a board. I got it for 3 days, you know, mm-hmm. from this this rental company. I remember I was going around the street just asking everyone because, you know, it sounded a little expensive to me at the time. You know, they wanted about $20 a day.
Yeah, I mean, think about how much it would cost just to take a board there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Still saving money for sure. But, yeah. You know, I'm always trying to find the best deal. And when I look back in hindsight, it's like, well, yeah, $20, like that's what I'd be renting it for here. Why am I not willing to pay the same thing there?
You're in this mindset that everything should be inexpensive.
Right. Yeah.
We used to say in Costa Rica for $5 a night.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, actually with Columbia and surfing, so that surfing had really only gotten there about 7 or 8 years ago. All the boards brought in from the outside, you know, they have a few very local shapers, you know, yeah. just doing what they can, but really no supply in the country. So there's definitely, you know, limited, but I found a good deal from a reputable company. And yeah, this guy, Jonathan, dropped off the board one night so I could take it for the next 3 days. And we actually ended up going with him on the bus just 5 minutes down to this different break.
That's cool.
Arequipe. Yeah. Yeah, it was rock and sand, which was nice. A little more of like a point break versus the rest of the beach there at Palomino was all sandbar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So surfed Arequipe the first day. Beautiful. You know, Jonathan was given a lesson. And I remember the girl he was teaching had brought her dog. And his name was Cujo. It was this big, like, almost pit bull boxer mix. But its head literally had to have been at least 50 or 60% of its whole mass. You know, this head was giant.
Doesn't sound very cuddly.
No. He was sweet. But yeah, so great couple days. You know, we usually would try to go in the mornings. I'd go to that same beach. In the afternoons, I'd go just to Palomino, which was just a quick walk, you know, versus having to ride the bus. The wind would die down. A lot of shore break, but usually like 2 to 3 foot for those days, you know. It was pretty consistent, which was good.
Right.
So it wasn't any time where I was like, oh, there's no waves. I can't do anything. And then the last day I had the board. Now, let me mention that this board, because they don't have, you know, this ample supply of
right.
changing things out, you know, they're repairing everything. So this board had a buckle across the front that ran totally across the top, you know, and it was
across the nose, right?
Yeah, probably about, you know, not the thickest part of the board, but somewhere between the middle and then the nose.
That's the classic place you snap a surfboard, you know. Well, you can snap in the middle, but usually about halfway between the nose and where your front foot would go. So,
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, done a lot of surfboard repair.
Yeah. So not that uncommon then, which is...
So the board had been buckled and had it been repaired?
Exactly. So it was repaired, yeah. You know, for what we had that day, you know, I was like, yeah.
It was just a regular shortboard?
Yeah, it was, good point. It was about 6'2", had some good volume, but yeah, regular shortboard, right. Epoxy, had some nice flow to it, you know, and it felt fairly strong, so I didn't think too much of it. That final day I was, you know, surfing there, you know, Jonathan, the guy I rented the board from, messaged me. It's like, hey, some pretty big waves, you know, I'll see you out later. And I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and one of my favorite things about surfing in a different area, and I'm sure you know this, is, you know, it's a constant study of like, what's going to work? You know, what are the conditions? When are they good? When do I take a wave? Where's the break at?
Yeah.
You know, it's this constant, even if you've, you know, been surfing all your life, you go to a new beach,
you got to feel it out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Got to feel it out.
So I'm watching some of the guys like take these waves, and now these are some bigger waves, somewhere like 5 feet all the way up to, I'd say, almost 10.
So chest to overhead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, sand break pretty close to the beach, probably only 30 feet out at most, you know, so it's slamming down. You got to get moving as soon as you get on it or else it's going to close out.
So barrels, overhead waves, short break.
Exactly. So messy barrels, but they were there for the picking, you know, and I'd taken a couple, slowly watching, you know, and there's some kids out there really just killing it, you know, just they knew exactly what they were doing, where to be.
Yeah, so local knowledge.
Exactly. Trying to kind of observe, eavesdrop. Then I get on a couple, you know, I'm able to take it down the line a bit, pop out over the wave before it closes out. And, you know, I'm like, okay, cool. Let's.
Yeah, because if you can't get out of it, that's you know,
Yeah.
That's what you want to do when you're riding short break is get off the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then, well, lo and behold, this next wave comes up, you know, and I'm a little, I paddle out even a little further, you know, because I see the sets are growing and I'm like, you know, maybe I can get out ahead of this a little sooner. And the waves are getting bigger. I start to notice that the local people, they're starting to paddle out a little further into a different position and stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Follow along.
Yeah, you're in another country. The other people start paddling out.
Exactly.
You better start paddling out.
Especially, you know, with these waves slamming down, I did not want to get just crushed by, you know, a rogue, huge wave that being wrong place, wrong time. So I get into a more comfortable position. Got my own little space out there. Just trying to give everyone, you know, not be in anyone's way, you know. I want to respect their break, especially since I'm out here trying to figure it out, you know, and I'm not 100% sure yet, you know. So this next set comes, you know, there's one that is lining up right where I'm at, you know. No one else is in position. It's feathering at the top, you know, and I'm like, this is, if I'm going to take one of these, this is the wave.
Yeah.
I think about this board. If I'm going to take this wave, I might not be returning this board the way I got it, you know, because this is stacking up to 8-9 feet, you know, and looking at how they're closing out, man, no faith in that board.
So you had kind of moved out of position a little bit and then a wave swung wide and came straight to you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And everybody's watching.
Everyone's watching. We got, you know, people from all over the world on the coast.
On the beach.
On the beach. Exactly. We got, resorts. We got the other surfers. And even with the idea that, you know, I'm probably going to break this board, I said, you know, I got to go for this. You know, if I'm out here, this is the experience, you know? And so
So for the listeners, the choice is, and there is some peer pressure involved. Mm. The choice is, the apex of this whole trip to Colombia, the surfing part, is take this amazing wave.
Right.
And break this surfboard. Or not.
Exactly. And that's, you know, it's funny because that is what ran through my mind in that, you know, had to be half a second.
Yeah.
Crazy how much you can think in such a short period of time.
Very long. Half seconds in surfing can be very long.
But I will say, once like I thought about it, there was no hesitation, you know, I was breaking that board.
Right.
So I drop in, you know, and it was a steep drop in, you know, I don't think the bottom of the board really touched the water until I got actually in the pocket of the wave.
Right.
Riding down the line, going fast, you know, this barrel, it's nice, but it's a little sloppy. Mm-hmm. Chandelier getting slapped in the face a little bit, you know, but my eyes are still open. I'm still going, you know, straight down the line. And then all of a sudden, you know, that avenue I'm riding on starts to close out in front of me. And at that moment, I think what I would do in a situation normally would just take it out, go towards the beach, you know, get away from the break.
Straighten out towards the beach. Yep.
Exactly. But I think knowing that board was damaged kind of got me on a different thought process where I was like, maybe I'll jump off the board, you know, and just get out of the way.
Punch through the back.
Something like that, you know. And, well, that didn't really work out because that wave came straight down on that board. And as soon as I got up, you know, I surfaced and I tried pulling the surfboard back to me. Yeah, it was not coming easy because it was two surfboards now. And, you know, I made it in. The guy I rented the board from, he was out there. But, you know, he's a nice guy about it, even though they have difficulty like getting boards in, you know, gave him $50 for it. You know, he might try to repair it. I think he was going to make a sign out of it, but
yeah, if this is the second time it's been broken, sounds like a table.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice coffee table for someone at this point.
Exactly. A nice decoration. Be safer that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or else it just becomes an omen.
Yeah. Well, if any of you other people out there have a story about a decision you had to make, like Nick's, like, I'm going to ride this wave and break this surfboard because that's the most likely outcome.
Yeah.
Or not. Hit me up, email. Thanks for being on Surf Shorts.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to tell you about my most expensive, but one of my best waves.
Yeah, your most expensive wave. That's right. Thank you.
All right, y'all, listen. I say surf, you say shorts. Surf.
Shorts.
Surf.
Shorts.
I say, wait a minute. I think that pretty much covers it.
Hey, thanks everyone for listening to Surf Shorts this week. This was a really cool show, and I've never surfed in Colombia before, so I was really paying attention. One of my favorite parts of Nick's story is how it ties directly into the Netflix show Narcos. And if you remember on Narcos, there are references to Pablo Escobar's zoo animals and some of the crazy things he did to spend and hide his drug money. I specifically remember a part where his henchmen were just burying millions of dollars in his yard. Another thing I'd like to say about Nick that I find amusing is every time I talk to him, and he's been on the show twice, every time I talk to him and he tells me a surf story, he never uses surf lingo. I'm sure some of you hardcore surfers like picked that up. He did throw the word chandeliers in there, but other than that, like when he describes the waves and himself surfing, he always uses, you know, different words than the words I'm used to hearing. I don't know. Maybe you have a friend like that too. I just find it very interesting. Thanks for listening. Come back next week. I promise we'll have more surf shorts, more places, more people, more fun. And hey, you think you have a story better than Nick's? You think you can tell one better? Hit me up. Email surfshortspodcast@gmail.com or shoot me a message on Instagram @surfshortspodcast. And don't forget, we're always on Facebook, Surf Shorts Podcast. Thanks again.